Good evening. I believe the Lord will have us look in the book of John this evening, chapter number 16. John chapter number 16. For some time now, I've been trying to read from Genesis all the way through Revelations. And it's amazing how when Pastor Darren asked me to preach, I was reading through these verses and where we're going to look at tonight, it just jumped off the pages. And it's amazing how the Lord just lined it right up. And I can tell you of assurance, I have got help from this, and I just pray that it will help you as much as it's helped me. John chapter number 16, verse number 19, if you will, please stand when you find your place. John chapter number 16, verse number 19. The Bible says, "Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. But ye shall be sorrowful, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." As I was studying here, the word joy just jumped out multiple times. We see that here in these verses, the word joy comes out four times. And twice it says, your joy, yes. Your joy. I believe the Lord this evening will have us look at from sorrow to joy, from sorrow to joy. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you, God, for your word that we're able to open up, Lord, and we're able to feed on it. Lord, tonight I pray, God, that you help us, God, to preach your word. God, I pray that you'll bind, God, our flesh, that you'll get man out of the way, Lord, and that you'll preach to the hearts of your people. And Lord, help us, God, to hear your word. And Lord, I pray that you'll make preaching easy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So here in our text this evening, we see that Jesus and his disciples have just partaken of the Last Supper. This would have taken place on Thursday, one day before Christ would be led away to a cross where he would be crucified. He began to speak to the disciples minus Judas. If you were to look back in the few of the chapters, you would notice if you have a red letter Bible that Jesus is speaking throughout here. He is speaking to his disciples about things that are about to come. We know that he speaks about how he is going to a place where they cannot go, the disciples. And we know that Peter gives that heroic statement. What do you mean you're going to a place where I cannot go? I will follow you till the end, even until death. And we know how Jesus said, before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. He goes on and reminds the disciples that he is the way to the Father. And he speaks about the Holy Ghost and how they will be hated because he was hated. And then he comes back here to where our reading is, and he goes back once again speaking about going to a place where they cannot go. Look back at 16:16 here in John. He says, "A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." As the disciples, they are hearing this, they began to reason among themselves, saying, what does he mean? What is he saying when he says this? You see that he just said he's going to a place where we cannot go. Now he's saying a little while and we won't see him, and then a little while and we will be able to see him. What is he saying? You see, we know exactly what he was saying and what he was speaking of, but you have to understand they were living this out in real time. They didn't understand his sayings. But Christ, knowing what they were thinking, he began to expound to them about the saying that he said. And so firstly, I see the weeping of the disciples. Here in verse number 20, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful." That word, "very, verily," it means truly, truly, and he says it two times. We know in the scripture when he says something two times, if he says somebody's name like Peter, Peter, two times, he's trying to get their attention so that they will pay attention. And we know that all of the Word of God is important. But we know we have to pay special attention when he tries to tell us something twice and tries to grab our attention. Here he says, ye shall weep and lament. Here we see that this not taking place right now, but it is going to occur in the near future. They didn't know that soon they would be going through a time of sorrow, a time of weeping, a time of difficulty, a time of sorrowfulness, a time of helplessness, and a time of tears. Soon, just 24 hours from that point, Jesus would be beaten. He'd be spit upon. He'd be rejected. He would be denied. He'd be lied on. He would be placed on a cross. He'd be crucified. And he would lay down his life and be laid upon a tomb. They were sorrowful. They were sad and wept about what had taken place. The Bible in Mark 16:10, as Mary was coming up to them after he was resurrected, it said that they were mourning and weeping. I think about how they were probably going through what was probably the hardest time in their life up until that point. To make matters worse, the Bible says that the world shall rejoice. As they were going through a time of mourning and a time of weeping, they would look on and see the world rejoicing around them. I think about how we know how easy it is in times of sorrow, in times of sadness, in times of weeping, when we are upset, when we're going through a difficult time. It's easy for us to look around into the world and we think we're the only ones that are going through that situation. We think that we're the only ones that are in a bad place, that are going through sorrow, that are going through a difficult time, because we look out at the world and it seems like the world is rejoicing. It seems like nobody else is going through that pain and that suffering that we are going through. As they were in a time of mourning and weeping, the world around them was rejoicing. And you'll watch sometimes as you see the world around you and it seems that you're the only one going through this time. You're trying to serve God, but you see the world living out in sin and it seems like they're all rejoicing. And it seems like they're not having to go through the hardships that we as Christians have to go through. You look out and you think, you know, I'll never, and you began to get discouraged and you began to doubt and you began to think, you know, I'm never going to get out of this situation that I'm going through. I'm never going to get married. I'm never going to have a house. I'm never going to have a baby. I'm never going to get out of this situation that I'm in. Today you look out and it seems like everyone around you is rejoicing while you're weeping. This world, the adversary, the devil, they want you to think that that is where the end of this verse, that's where this verse ends. They want you to read chapter or verse number 20. And end where it says, and ye shall be sorrowful. They want you to close your Bible. They want you to throw it away and give up. But the verse doesn't end there. The Bible says, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. You see, they didn't even know that they were about to go through one of the hardest points of their life because Jesus would be led and crucified on a cross. They didn't realize that they were about to go through a hard time. But you see, God already had a plan. God had a situation and a solution to the plan and to turn their sorrow into joy. You see here, if we were to keep reading, we know that He already had a solution. The next day, they would be weeping over Jesus' death. But 3 days later, praise God, they would see Jesus walking, coming to them, beating death, hell, and the grave. You may be here tonight thinking, wondering if you'll ever make it. You're wondering if you're ever going to get out of this situation, if it's ever going to happen, if you're ever going to get out of whatever you're going through right now. Don't you know before the foundation of the earth was formed, God already had a plan for you on how He might be able to save you from the sin that you were going to commit? That's before the foundation of the earth. The Bible tells us here in Ephesians 1. Turn there for me. Ephesians chapter number 1. Verse number 4, it says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Christ, Jesus Christ, unto Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, what does this mean? Don't get it distorted like the Calvinists believe in that saying that God has had a selected few people that will be saved. No, what this is saying is that word predestinated, that means marked out beforehand. What He is saying is that God had it marked out beforehand how we might become the children of God, and that is by getting by Jesus Christ and calling on His name and getting saved. Before the foundation of the earth, God had a plan for you specifically, a plan for me specifically on how how we might be saved from our sin. So don't you know and don't you think that God already had a plan to turn the sorrow that you are in right now into joy. He already had a solution to what you are going through right now. God doesn't want you to weep forever. He has a plan to give you an expected end. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I have, that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." You see, God has an expected end for you. It's expected. We should know and expect it to come to an end. Like I said, Jesus doesn't want us to weep forever. He wants us to get out of this situation that He might turn our sorrow into joy. He goes on a little further. So here we see the weeping of the disciples and how God and Jesus tries to encourage them and tell them that their sorrow will be turned to joy. He goes further by giving an illustration of this, which we see as a second point. Secondly, we see a woman in delivery. In verse number 21, it says, "A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come." That word travail, that means labor. Now we know when a woman is in labor or when she is induced into labor, that means that the baby's coming. That means it is time, or as the Bible says, the hour is come. Now I'm going to be 100% honest. I don't know the pain of what it's like to go through birthing pains and to have labor pains at all. I try to study it and I try to look it up and stuff. I know as a man, we're not as tough as women are. I know that, you know, we don't have as high of a pain tolerance as women does. That's why we get the man sick, the man cold that everybody talks about, and all the women make fun of us. It's because we're not nearly as strong as the women are. So I can only imagine the pain that they go through. I began to watch some videos, and I began to watch as men, they would take those physical therapy, little muscle pulsing things, and they would put it on their stomach to try to reenact what birthing pains would be so they could kind of feel what it would be like. And I know that all of them, they would scream and they'd be pitching a fit. Their legs would be kicking up in the air and they'd be trying to sling those little bandage things off, trying to get out of that pain. Some describe the pain as equal to 20 bone fractures at once. I've had a bone fracture before. I know it didn't feel good. So I can only imagine what 20 bone fractures are at once. The truth is, no matter how much I study, no matter how hard I try to figure out what those pain is like, I will never know. And the thing is, tonight, you're in pain. Tonight, I don't know the pain that you're going through. I think about the Mercy Benfield family. I don't know the pain that they're going through with having to lose a baby. I don't know the pain of what it's like to go through losing a spouse, going through the pain that it takes of losing a super close one, a parent or something like that. I don't know the pain that you are going through tonight. And I don't know the pain of what it's like to go through labor. But can I be honest with you for just a moment? And can I just tell you what me and my family are going through and be vulnerable for a second? Now, as me and Haley, when we started dating, obviously all of us, we like to talk about having kids. And we talk about that and we say, "Well, how many kids do you want? I want two. How many kids do you want? I want three," and stuff like that. And the time came when Haley and I got engaged and became serious, you know, of how many children are we going to have and about having children. And we discovered that it was going to be hard for us to be able to have a child. So when we got married, we knew that we weren't going to waste any time and we were going to try to have a child because we didn't know how long it would take for us to have a child. Well, we've been married almost 2 years now and we don't have a child, as you can see. And it's been tough. And it's been one of the hardest times that we've had to go through. And it's painful. There's been many nights that we haven't been able to rest. There's been many tears that have been shed. There has been pain. There has been depression. There has been sorrow. There has been doubt. There has been anger. I've looked out. I've seen people that it seems like they don't even want a child and somehow they have a child. And I get angry. My flesh gets angry. And I'm like, "Lord, why are you giving them a child, but you won't give us one? We're trying to do your will. We're trying to live for you. We're trying to do all we can, but you won't give us a baby. Why, Lord?" And I'm just being honest with you tonight. I'm just being honest. And tonight you might be in the same boat. You might not be able to have a baby right now. You might have lost a baby. You might be going through a divorce. You can't find a spouse. You can't find a job. And it may not seem like a big deal to some, but to you, it means the world. And it's tough. And it's huge for you. And you're in so much pain. And it's been sorrowful. And it's been painful. But, Jesus goes on to say, but, once again, but, As soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. You see, for a moment in time when that baby or when that mother finally delivers that child, for a moment in time, she doesn't think about the pain that she's going through. She doesn't think about the anguish that she is going through because of the joy that she has to be able to hear that baby weep and to be able to hold that baby. You see, the thing is, though, is she had to go through that pain and had to go through that suffering to bring that baby into this world. You see, for us to have a child, for us to get through that time of sorrow, we have to go through it to get that joy that comes afterwards. I believe if she does think about the pain that she went through, she can look back and say it was all worth the pain that she went through to have that baby and to hold that baby. And to be able to look upon that baby. I believe every time that she sees that baby, she thinks about what a miracle it is, what a blessing it is, how God gave her that baby, and how God was with her through it. I believe every time that she looks at that baby, she sees God all in it and God all around it. Haley, tonight I love you. And I know it's been such a hard time. And I know that we've cried many tears. But there's coming a day when you're going to get to hold our child. And we're going to have joy. And we're going to be able to look back and say that it was all worth it. Church, tonight, you might be there too. And you're going to go through pain. And you're going to go through suffering. But I believe that God is going to bring you through this. And God's going to give you what you have and what you need. And you'll be able to look back and know that it was all worth it. All the sorrow that you went through was worth it. And God is going to give you joy. The disciples, when they saw or learned that Jesus was placed into the tomb, they didn't understand the pain and the sorrow that they would have to go through the next few days would be worth it until those 3 days were up and they saw Jesus resurrected. The pain He went through and the pain that they went through was all worth it. Lastly, I see whatsoever shall be delivered. In verse number 22, the Bible says, "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and joy, your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it unto you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Jesus tells them, though they're going through, getting ready to go through a time of sorrow, they will see Him again. And when they see Him again, their heart will rejoice so much so that no man will ever be able to take that joy from Him. Here He's saying, though you will have sorrow today, I will soon turn that sorrow into joy, wherein no man can take it away. And you might think, how is that? Because you see, when Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave, those that believe on Him and accept Him as their Lord and Savior, they receive Him into themselves. And they receive Him in His heart through the Lord and through the Holy Ghost. And no man will ever be able to take Him from them. Because we have Christ dwelling with inside us, no man will ever be able to take that from us. And because we have Him, we always have hope. And we can always have joy. John chapter number 10, verses number 28 through 29 says, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." 1 John 4:4 says, "Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world." Because He dwells within you, because He dwells within me, that means no matter what, there is always hope. Because of that, we can also live victorious, knowing that He dwells within inside us and that the battle has already been won. Your sorrow has already been taken care of and it's already been defeated. Your weeping has already been defeated. Your pain has already been defeated. Anything you're going through right now has already been defeated because Christ won at Calvary. Psalms 30:5 says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." I think about how the world rejoiced as they wept. The world, Satan, your flesh rejoices as you weep. They'll tell you to give up. They'll tell you to stop serving God, and it will never get better. They tell lies and lies and lies. It may be hard for you right now. It may be hard whatever you're going through. And it may be a tough time. But God is telling you, He is telling us to not give up. That He is going to turn your sorrow into joy. Not just any kind of joy, but joy that no man shall ever be able to take it from you. He goes on to say it in the verse of 30, 23 and 24.
He says, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it unto you. And then at the end of verse number 24, he says, ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. Because of that, that should give us all hope. The God of all glory, the God of creation, wants to answer your prayer and wants to answer my prayer. He wants to give you the petitions of your heart. I think about, imagine how after Jesus is laid in that tomb, they watched their Savior and their Lord die and be placed in that tomb. A day goes by, 2 days go by, and I think about how they probably began to think and began to pray, Lord, I wish that Jesus was here with us. I wish that we could hear just one more sermon. I wish that we could just see Him work one more miracle. I wish that He would just walk out of that tomb and come into us. And then finally that third day comes, and they're sitting around and they're crying and they're weeping and lamenting. Next thing you know, here comes Mary. And Mary's running up and she says, you know what? Jesus is alive. I've seen Him. And they were so sorrowful and so upset that they didn't believe what she had to say. And I believe a couple of hours might have went by, and as they were crying, next thing you know, they see something off in the distance. It's a figure walking towards them. And they began to look out and began, it looks like someone's walking towards us. But it wasn't just someone, it was Jesus. And I believe as Jesus got closer to them, I believe they began to wipe away their tears that were in their eyes. And I believe, and when the Bible tells us that Jesus showed them their scars on His hands, He showed them the scars on their side where He was pierced. And the Bible tells us that they were glad. You see, Jesus did what He said He was going to do. He wiped away their tears. He turned their sorrow into joy. They were glad when they seen Jesus resurrected and defeating death, hell, and the grave. You say, that's all great this evening. You think, that's great. But I've been praying for years. I've been praying for a long time for you to answer, for God to answer this prayer. I know, I've been there. I've been praying for a year, almost 2 years, for God to give us a baby, and He hasn't answered it yet. But I think about how here the disciples, they had to go through weeping. They had to go through pain for 3 days. You say, well, that 3 days, that's not long at all. But you understand that that was 3 days without Jesus. You see, we were born into sin, but Jesus has been around. See, they were 3 days without Jesus. Don't you know that that felt like an eternity? Don't you know that that felt like years? But when they seen Jesus once again, they were encouraged and their sorrow was turned to joy. I think about how tonight, I think about how we've been praying for a long time. And you've been in pain and you've been in sorrow and you're hurting. And you feel like God isn't going to answer. I want you to think about it for a moment. What's one of the most joyous things that God can give us? And that's an answered prayer. Think about how in the morning maybe you have a car that's messed up and you don't know if it's going to crank. And you sit there and you say, Lord, I need to get to work. Lord, please let my car start. Next thing you know, you start it and the Lord answers that prayer. That gives you joy. That's a blessing. But I want you to think about how much more joy it gives you when you've been praying for years. And you've been lamenting, and you've been weeping, and you've been asking and begging God to answer your prayer, and then God finally answers that prayer. Think about how much joy that gives you. And as much joy as it gives you, I believe it gives God more joy to be able to answer that prayer for you. This world, as I said, this false spirits, they're whispering lies into your ear that God doesn't hear you, that God isn't going to answer your prayer. Don't let them deceive you into thinking that God's answer for wait sometimes means no. I'll tell you tonight, there are liars whispering all kinds of nonsense into our ears and into our minds. Tonight, I think I'm just going to believe what the Bible says. And here, as we read, it's in red letters. So it's what Jesus said. Everything that is in this Word of God is true. He says, ask, you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Whatsoever ye ask shall be delivered. Tonight, I truly believe that God is going to turn this thing around for you. I believe tonight, He's going to turn your sorrow into joy. Please stand.
Amen. Say if you come play. And maybe somebody here, maybe like Brother Tyler said, he and his wife are now trying to have a baby, not able to do that. And maybe that's your situation. Maybe there's a diagnosis. Man, you'd do anything to have healing from this diagnosis. Maybe there's a burden in your family. Maybe there's a financial need that cannot be met. You'd do anything. Maybe there's some type of brokenness because the family's gone. Or maybe there's death in your... I don't know what it is, but God has something He wants to do for you tonight. And maybe it is that you're just begging God to see a soul saved out of your family or a friend. And it's when Zion travails. I can show you the scriptures there, New Testament, Old Testament. When Zion travails, when you are travailing in prayer, you'll see your friends get saved and your loved ones get saved. I've watched it happen. Prayed for someone for more than 10 years and watched them walk the aisle way and fall on the altar and call on Jesus. Man, how it blessed my soul to see that. I'm just telling you, it gave Jesus more pleasure to save them. And I'm just saying tonight, maybe you can come tonight and say, Lord, I'm going to give to you my sorrow. I'm going to give it to you. And Lord, I'm going to trust you for the joy that will come from it. Let's pray tonight. Father, as we bow in your presence, we give you praise and honor. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the man of God who's boldly declared the word of God tonight. And Father, just as those disciples were sorrowful, God, for those days that they would be without the Lord. And then to see him raised again, the joy that entered into their heart. God, tonight there's all around us folks who have tragic loss in their family. God, that they're that desiring to have a child, desiring a spouse, someone in their life that really, truly cares. Someone, God, that might help them, God, to call about a job or a doctor to say there's healing in your life, there's progress. Lord, we ask God for that soul, God, that we've been burned and praying for great lengths of time, God, that they'd be saved. God, you'd answer in accordance to your will. And God, as we bow here in our sorrow, in our contrition, in our humility, in our feebleness, in our weakness, Lord, all we can do is trust your word. Take you at your word. Oh God, tonight we ask, Father, for your help. Believe in you for the return of answer. God, we're asking you, would you help us, Lord? Would you have mercy upon us, God? Look this way, Lord, we pray. Touch us in your time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.